The Schlereth and Evans podcast is sponsored by Xfinity. Xfinity is the best way to stream your favorite live sports on the next generation Xfinity 10G network.
But is that okay? Because if they were playing somebody else, let's say the Nuggets were getting, let's say the Nuggets got New Orleans in the first round.
Okay.
Let's face it.
Dude, that is.
That series would be.
Crickets.
Well, there'd be enough because of Zion, but it would still be pretty much buried.
Right, it'd get ratings like hockey.
Right. And it would get attention like hockey.
Yeah.
But at least
it'd move to ESPN too.
As annoying as the infatuation with the Lakers is, at least the Nuggets get brought along. Oh, because of all the attention.
They're going to get top billing for the next, however long the series takes. Next week and a half, Mike. They'll get top billing.
Top billing. We already told you about the two games on Saturday night.
Yeah.
In the first four. I mean, that's the marquee matchup.
They've been talking about it right now. The way they're talking about it, First Take on ESPN, on Get Up, on whatever it is, the way they're talking about this, that's how it's, I mean, they're going to get their due. They're going to get some shine. It's, it's whatever glances off the Lakers, but this is all about the Lakers, but at least you're going to get to hear them talk a little bit about the Nuggets. It's all going to be about how the Lakers are going to, what they have to do to beat the Nuggets, blah, 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 blah. But at least you're going to get the attention of the national networks. You're going to be talking about the Denver Nuggets.
Okay, here comes Laker fan. Ready for this one?
Oh, yeah.
You guys better hope and pray the Lakers don't beat the Suckets. You will look so stupid. All that talk. They'd have to fire both of you. Yeah, listen, Laker fan, this isn't just a couple of guys in Denver talking about the Nuggets rolling over the Lakers. Vegas has the Nuggets with huge odds to win this series. The Nuggets are -330. To win this series, the Lakers, the vaunted Lakers, with all their fans out there, are +270. Think about that. 330, -330. You got to bet $330 on the Nuggets just to win 100. They are astronomically. Astronomically. Huge favorites. Large favorites.
They're an astronomic favorite.
I don't know. Either way. Yeah, astronomically favored. I can go with that. I think I conjugated that properly.
Sure.
They are astronomically favored. So, sorry, folks, or Laker fan. This isn't just us.
Mm-hmm.
A couple Denver homers. This is the wise guys out there who have the same view that the Lakers have no shot.
I like how you went with, we were talking about space nerd, and then you went with a space term, astronomically.
You might have wormed your way into my brain there.
Yeah. Astro boy.
So let me ask you, Laker fans, here's my question, Laker fan. I know you're out there. How do you feel about this matchup? Are you happy that the Lakers won last night and will be getting the Nuggets in the first round?
Yeah, Laker fan, or Laker / Yankee / Cowboy.
Yes.
Fan.
Slash Duke
/
Alabama fan.
Alabama. So.
That's right.
Yeah. Anybody who's a favorite guy.
Yeah.
How do you break it down? How do you convince yourself that this year?
Yeah.
This is the year. This year is going to be different than the second round sweep your Lakers took last year.
Yeah. You've lost 8 straight to the Nuggets. Tell me, Laker fan, why that to you is ancient history and it's going to be different this time. Tell me why you are just as happy that the Lakers are getting the Nuggets in the first round as you would have been if they got Oklahoma City in the first round. Go ahead. Oh, here they come. You guys act like insecure local media dudes. Let the Lakers get all the flowers, then Joker and company can just go take them.
Well, the Lakers do get all the flowers.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just the way it is. Just like the discrepancy on the free throw line last night against the Pelicans. Dude, if they don't, listen, man, if they don't get that, if it's even on the free throw line, the Lakers lose by 10. If the calls aren't going 2-1 in favor of the Lakers, they lose by 10.
Yeah. LeBron was making a big deal after the game. He's like, man, you know, we won that game despite me and AD shooting a combined 12 for 36. What he left out was that the two shot a combined 18 for 20 from the free throw line.
Right.
By the way, those two took more free throws than the entire New Orleans team. Get used to this. Get used to it, folks, because it's coming for this series as well. Lakers were 26 of 29 from the free throw line. Last night, the Pelicans were 11 of 15. 2-1 margin on the road. So,
yeah.
just accept. Don't get mad.
No,
because you're gonna hear. Oh, Nuggets is gonna be five on eight. You know, they're five. Our five against their five and the three officials. Don't get caught up in that narrative because that's just the way it is. It just is. So don't get bothered by it.
No, they're gonna give them every opportunity because they're the Lakers to be in the game.
What's sweeter, watching the national media try to cope with the Nuggets being better than the Lakers or a Laker fan on the text line?
Oh, national media. Oh, the national media. Because Mark's right. Everything about this series is going to be brought to the nation through the Lakers' lens. And so when it ends up inevitably the Nuggets winning in five, just to watch the crying, the whining, the excuse making, but throughout all of that, it'll have to be that begrudging praise from the Nuggets. And hey, I'm all for it because if it was pretty much any other matchup in the first round, I think the Nuggets would kind of get ignored. I think ESPN's plan going into the playoffs when it comes to the Nuggets is we're not going to turn our focus on them until we have to. Western Conference Finals, NBA Finals.
Correct.
But in this case, a little bit more.
Yeah, I mean, you think about, so, well, we don't know who's going to be.
It was West Finals, by the way, last year. So, excuse me. So that's even more.
It was what?
It was the Western Conference Finals with the Lakers last year. It was, yeah.
Last year was the West Conference? I got a flip-flop because it went
Minnesota, Phoenix, Lakers. So the argument, get ready for, okay, oh. Now let me amend it even more now. I was mistakenly thinking about second round versus first round. Get ready for it now. You're going to hear the Windhorse and the Stephen A's of the world saying, what's different this time for the Lakers versus the Nuggets as compared to last year? Well, last year, the Lakers got the Nuggets in the Western Conference Finals. By that point, the Lakers were worn down.
They were tired.
Yeah. They were beat up. This time around, they get them in the first round. They're fresher, and that's why it'll be different this time around. Get ready for it.
Correct.
I'm totally telling you. Yeah.
Yeah, you're 100% correct. It's exactly what it'll be. Now they're fresh, and they've got all this time, and, you know, they just played last night, so Tuesday night. They've got till Saturday here in Denver to acclimate. They'll probably come right from, they were in New Orleans last night, right?
Yeah.
Well, they'll
go back home.
They'll go home for a couple of days, but then they'll be out here.
Yeah. This is so, I am really enjoying this, and, you know, first of all, full disclosure, I grew up a Celtics fan, so you could tell why I'm enjoying this even more.
Sure.
But to see the reaction of Laker fan, it's so funny because now Laker fan is the one that's defensive. Laker fan is the one that's accusing Nugget fan of being cocky and arrogant and dismissive.
Like, it's not a good look for you guys.
Exactly, right. After decades of Laker fan carrying themselves that way. Now they're on the receiving end of it, and they're all butthurt about it.
Mm-hmm.
It's so funny. You guys are so confident in this Nuggets and five crap. Put your money where your mouth is. Already done, my friend. Already done.
That's right. My $2.
That's right.
What would it look like if it were the other way around? If the media wasn't so in favor of the Lakers, would they just be saying that there's no chance that they can win?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Like, what would the...
I can't even contemplate a universe where the national media is not infatuated on the Lakers.
Infatuated?
Did I just make up a word?
Infatuated.
Did I just
you left
make
out
up a
the
word?
In and I you just went made, infatuated.
I just made up a word. God, have you rubbed off on me. God, have you rubbed off on me.
The national media is infatuated with it. You been drinking?
You know what's so scary? Is like I did that so...
Effortlessly. That's the best way to do it. When you make up a word, you just keep plowing through.
Right.
Go plow through. Don't even correct...
Well, I'm gonna keep riding with it. They're infatuated.
They're infatuated.
Would they be so infatuated? I can't contemplate a scenario where ESPN was not infatuated.
Here's my question for you then. How would ESPN approach this game if the shoe were on the other foot? Meaning the Lakers right now were trying to defend their world championship, and the Nuggets fought their way into the seventh seed. How then would, because it wouldn't be about what the Nuggets have to do to win the series, right? It would be what the Lakers' chances are and what they have to do to defend their championship. But you're not getting that. That's not the storyline that they're promoting. Because they know that's not getting as many clicks as what the Lakers have to do and how the Lakers look at this as an advantage because it's not late in the playoff. It's the first round.
You ready for this one?
Yeah.
This one's great. You guys are just jealous because Laker fan has the 18 championships.
No.
Go ahead. Hold on.
Uh-huh.
They have 17. This fool is counting the in-season tournament
as
as an 18th championship. Shame on you. Look, I don't know. I don't know who you are. I don't know. Maybe you consider yourself a serious Laker fan, but dude, you got to turn in your Laker fan card if you are now saying they have 18 championships and you're counting that fraud.
Is that
the 18th? If you're counting that, look, I would hope even other Laker fans on the text line turn on this person and say, we don't include him. He doesn't count.
I don't even count the 17 because one was a Mickey Mouse ring.
Well, that's true. One of them was in the bubble. Yeah.
Come on, man.
Infatuated is when Evans eats an entire box of Apple Jacks. Yes.
Did you get Apple Jacks?
Stop and get Apple Jacks on the way home. My favorite cereal.
Delicious.
The whole cereal debate came up yesterday. What's our favorite cereal? How old do you have to be before you start giving up children's cereals? To me, you're never too old. And as a point, I stopped home on my way home and got a box of Apple Jacks, and I had a bowl of Apple Jacks when I got home yesterday.
Did you share with your kids, or did you just keep it all to yourself?
Just mine. And I let that cereal just kind of marinate in the milk for a while.
Ugh.
Let it get a little soggy, and all that milk, when it was all said and done, did it taste beautiful.
Did you hum at any time the Apple Jacks
thing?
No,
I did not. You nailed it.
By the way, I just Googled, how many championships do the Lakers have?
Yeah.
17.
They have 17.
Well, that's, you know.
But this Laker fan said 18.
Oh, my gosh.
You just exposed yourself being a fraud fan. Yeah, I'm a Laker fan. We got 18 championships. No, you don't. Stop it. Do you see this? Cormani McClain has entered the portal.
Oh yes, for CU.
Yeah. So this was like the recruit for Deion.
Right.
The five-star recruit. But it never took off last year.
He didn't play.
He didn't play. Deion was not shy about saying, hey, he's just not, he's not practicing well enough. He's not doing the things that we ask of everybody. And I'm sorry, I'm not going to put him out there until he earns that spot. And at the start of spring practice, McLean was there and saying all the right things, but apparently it still hasn't worked out, and he's entering the portal. And some people are saying, oh, you know, Deion driving off, you know, another high recruit. Hey, we saw this thing coming for a long time. And I think this is a classic example of why I hate the portal. Because at the first sign of adversity, the player, instead of sucking it up and fighting through it, just says, taking my ball and going home. Going into the portal. I'm going to find some other school out there that kisses my ass.
Yeah, that's exactly how it works. And ultimately, there's a certain toughness you have to have if you're going to play at the next level. There's a certain toughness you have to have if you're going to play at all. And to think that you don't have to develop the mental toughness to overcome adversity, to switch positions, to do whatever you have to do, to fight your way into the starting lineup, to study more, to prepare more, to practice better, to practice harder, to get in the weight room more, whatever the case may be, that's going to elevate you to a spot where they can't deny you a starting position. At what point does that ever, at what point do you ever get to the point where you bow your back and say, it ain't going to happen to me anymore. I'm not going to let this happen. As opposed to going, well, damn it, I'm not getting my way. I'm jumping to the transfer portal. I mean, that's baby soft.
It is. And I'm not putting it all on Kermani McLean, because that's running endemic across all of college sports now. First sign of adversity, first sign I'm not happy, first sign, you know, mm-hmm. coach isn't playing me, first sign I'm not, you know, getting the love, all right, I'm just going to go somewhere else. Tell me if this seems a little weird to you. Shiloh Sanders tweeted out a CU logo, and then with a message, defense transfers DM me, offense transfers DM Shador Sanders. And then in parentheses, this not last chance you. Huh? So basically, Shiloh and Shador are now handling
the transfer portal. Yeah, you want to come get a chance to play? But not last chance to use. That meaning we're not looking for scrubs.
Right.
We're looking for real dudes.
Yeah.
Man.
Boy, Deion not only talking about, you were up there last Saturday and you said, this guy definitely is a football CEO. He not only delegates to his coaches, he's now letting his kids handle the portal. Which at the risk of being labeled a Deion homer, actually this makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
Because now what you're doing is you're not trying to send a coach out with coach speak and coach recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
You got peer on peer.
Right.
Yeah, you want to know what it's like to come play here?
You want to join us?
I'm a defensive guy, you're a defensive guy, I'll tell you what it's all about. You're an offensive guy, talk to Shador, he'll tell you all about it. I think it's smart.
I think the kids relate to the kids as well.
Exactly.
And I think one thing about, as a player, you're going to be fairly straight up with the players that you talk to. Dude, we're all about competition. Best guy gets to play, regardless of where you come from or who you are. And we just proved it by our five-star recruit, one of the highest recruits in all of football last year, in all the land, just jumped in the transfer portal because he doesn't get to play here. You don't get to play just because you're the top recruit coming out in college football. You play because you earn the playing time. And if you earn the playing time, guess what? Pop's going to play you. If you don't, you ride the pond. That's how it works. Which, that meritocracy to me is, I like it. I love it. It's the way it should be.
And for the people who react in a way like, what are they doing? What is Deion doing? This is, to me, it's an example of the new Wild West that is college football, big-time college football, big-time college basketball. There's a whole new way of doing things. There's a whole new rule book being written on the fly. And it's like when you guys were in the process of winning your second straight Super Bowl. I'll never forget it. You were getting ready to play Miami that night. You ended up losing to them. But, you know, at that point, you were, what, 13-1, I think, going into that Miami game?
You
just lost the week before to the Giants.
Yes,
okay,
correct.
So you're 13-1. I'll never forget it. It was a Monday night game in Miami. The great Sandy Clough and I were doing a pregame show from Red and Jerry's down there on Santa Fe and Oxford, no longer there. And we had Matt Millen on, who at the time was like the top TV analyst in the NFL.
Okay.
At the time. And we had him on, and he was marveling at what you guys are doing offensively.
Mm-hmm.
Marveling at Mike Shanahan. In fact, he came out and said, Mike Shanahan has lapped the field when it comes to offensive football. And I want to use that same example right now, because when it comes to this brave, new, wild, unpredictable world of college sports, the portal, NIL, all that stuff, Deion's lapped the field. The way he's doing it, the way he's using his kids to do it, lapping the field. He's playing chess, everyone else is playing checkers.
Yeah, and I tell you what, because of who he is, the way he operates the program, dude, everything's on film. Deion wears a camera on his chest during practice. And he wears it because he wants, you know, when they put stuff out, he wants everybody to see how he talks to the kids, how he operates the team, how he talks to the coaches, right? How he, like, Deion will be the first to tell you, this happens in other programs, doesn't happen in my program. I never badmouth another program. I never talk down about another program to our kids or to recruits. But there's negative recruiting when it comes to CU and Deion Sanders. You know the other schools are doing a negative recruiting job.
Because that's all they got.
Right.
Because they don't know how to sell. They don't know how to market. They don't know how to, maybe they're catching up now because a lot of people are following the Deion model with social media and everything like that. But he got out ahead of it.
Right.
You do not turn around the CU program. I'm not talking about wins and losses. That has to come this year. We all agree on that. But you do not turn around the perception of the CU program overnight. Literally overnight. Like he did. Unless you're doing revolutionary stuff.
Yes.
Unless you are lapping the field.
Right.
As compared to how everyone else is still trying to figure out the new Wild West that is big time college football.
I mean, think about, you know, they had offensive line issues last year. What do they do? I think they got seven offensive linemen out of the portal to come to see you.
Fan Flyaway, presented by Sport Clips. Make sure you get signed up. Go to denversports.com/thefanflyaway. We're going to be sending a lucky listener and a guest out to the Pro Basketball Championship in June. Hopefully our team is there, taking on the representative from the Eastern Conference, and you'll travel to that city. Airfare for two from Denver, two nights hotel, $500 spending money. Go to denversports.com/thefanflyaway to register and claim your special offer from Sport Clips. And if you've already signed up for our previous one in February to Vegas, you are already grandfathered in and entered for this and all future Fan Flyaways. Good luck. Up next, what was your immediate reaction when you heard that Courtland Sutton was staying away? That's next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.
You're listening to Schlereth and Evans on Denver's Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan.
Mark, what was your reaction when you heard that Courtland Sutton had decided to boycott, stay away from Broncos offseason workouts?
Why? Why would you do? Why? I mean, I get that you want a new contract. I understand wants, but you think this is going to get you a new contract? Are you overvaluing your worth to the football team? And you know what I don't want to hear? I don't want to hear how you haven't had stability at the quarterback position. I don't care. I know a guy by the name of DJ Moore who played in Carolina with absolute dreck over the last however many years and played in Chicago last year and consistently puts up 1,200 yards receiving and 9 to 12 touchdowns a year. So don't tell me about lack of quarterback stability. Don't care. Are you a top-notch guy? If you are, you'll make the quarterback better. You're not. You're a good player. I mean, he's a good player. But to think you have, the juice to get yourself a new contract by staying away from the team, hey, you're entitled not to show up if you want to do your own thing. But please, let me find out he quits following the team on social media. Then we'll know there's trouble.
Then we
trouble.
Know he's serious.
Yeah, then we know he's...
Staying away from workouts is nothing compared to...
When you stop following the team, then you know.
He means
business. I'm mad.
He means business. Your response kind of surprises me a little bit. Because you made a good point, but you made it loud and clear for all the people who thought that Russell Wilson got a raw deal from the Broncos when they made the contract demands. Wait until you get into the offseason and watch how many teams just unceremoniously cut players or force players to take pay cuts. The teams show no interest in honoring the contracts. I would think you'd be kind of happy for Courtland Sutton to come out and say, I don't care if I got 2 years left on my deal. I feel I'm underpaid. I'm going to stay away.
You could feel that way if you want to. I just don't think that he's underpaid. I think he's overpaid. I think he's been overpaid for a long time. Am I wrong? Does anybody feel like Courtland Sutton it should be a top 20 paid wide receiver in the National Football League?
He's going to be 20. As of right now, he's 23rd. As things set up for 2024, he's the 23rd highest paid receiver in the NFL. He signed a 4-year, $61 million contract with the Broncos a few years ago. $35 million of it guaranteed.
And he was...
Would you feel
and
that
he was way he and for the contract he signed he became way overpaid for however many years?
First couple of years because he was coming back from the knee operation where he just never
it wasn't the same.
We were talking about that all the time out of training camp. Boy, he just doesn't seem like he has his burst back yet.
Right.
You know?
And it took a while.
Yeah.
And last year was a really good year, Mike. Last year was a really good year, but they paid you top dollar for some pretty meager years.
Yeah, that's true.
So, hey, man.
So just because you have one good year, does that mean
right
now you pay me?
Now you got to pay me again? No. And by the way, he's not a top 30 receiver.
Not a top 30 receiver.
Heck,
meaning
no.
I could come up with 29 other receivers that I would want ahead of. Yeah, you know what? Yeah, you're probably right about that.
Not probably.
Okay, you are right about that, Mark.
Right.
You are right, and you are smart.
Yes. Maybe he wants to, run up to Pittsburgh with Rusty.
Courtland Sutton, let's see. So he had the big year, his second year in the league.
Yeah.
That's what got him the contract. He had 72 catches for 1,100 yards and 6 touchdowns.
Okay.
2020, got hurt. Not his fault, but he got hurt.
Yeah.
His 2020 season was 1 game, 3 catches for 66 yards.
Okay.
2021, 58 catches, 776 yards, 2 touchdowns. 2022, 64 catches, 829 yards, 2 touchdowns.
And then this past year, 59 catches, 772 yards, but 10 touchdowns. All of a sudden, that's like, rip up my contract, give me a new deal, pay me in line with some of the top receivers in the NFL.
I didn't realize it was on. What did he have, 15?
59 catches.
Come on, dude. Come on.
He's actually had three other seasons in his career where he had more receiving yards than he had this past season. But he did have a big jump in touchdowns.
But just do it. Just do it in number. Forget the touchdowns because, you know, I mean, if Russ is only looking at one guy come down the red zone, you know, I mean, you're going to get the majority of the opportunities. But just put up a list. Can you grab a list of all the receivers, that, like from catches and yardage standpoint? Just top receivers.
Wow.
No, it's easy. Just go.
Yeah, but just to find receivers that had more than 59 catches for 772 yards.
Yeah. Where does he rank on the list?
Oof. I mean, I can get it to you here, but take a little bit of time. But
no, it won't.
Well,
your chubby fingers.
Here we go. Here we go. There are, if you look at the top receivers in the NFL last year, and what's the total? 59 for 772?
Yeah.
Oof. Oof. Oof.
Where does he come in?
Ooh. 44th. 44th. 44th in yards.
44th in yards. How about catches?
Let's see. Actually, yeah, you know what? It's funny you say that. 43rd was Christian Kirk of Jacksonville. He had 57 catches, so he had two less catches than Cortland. But out of the 43, the other 42 receivers ahead of him, did any have less than 59 catches? No. Wow. So this is a guy who feels he's underpaid,
mm-hmm.
will be the 23rd highest paid receiver in the NFL this year, and statistically speaking was the 44th receiver in the NFL a year ago.
Is there any team, like when you're playing and you put a game plan together, Mike, and you're playing Junior Seau, or you're playing, you know, Warren Sapp, or you're playing Lawrence Taylor, or you're playing whoever. Every time you break the huddle, you have a plan on every play how you're going to contend with said dude. When you're playing Justin Jefferson, you have got a plan on how you're going to cover that guy. When you're playing whoever, is there any team in the National Football League that game plans the Broncos and says, man, we got to be careful with this guy. Yeah. Like, we can never be one-on-one with this guy. And the answer is no. Now, maybe you get into the red zone because he's a big body, big target. Maybe you get in the red zone with Russ and say, there's only one guy he's ever going to look at. So let's double team. You know, let's find a way to go high-low this guy and you know, run like a cover two or whatever, you know, or a trail two where you're basically you're taking him away and have somebody over the top and you're playing trail coverage. But other than that, there's no game planning around Cortland Sutton.
On the text line, in defense of Cortland, his quarterback couldn't make a read. You are, at some point, ultimately, receivers play a dependent position. They just do. Mm. And ultimately, you are dependent on the quarterback you have playing, that you're playing with. So I, it's one of the things I've kind of given Jerry Jeudy some grace. Look at your face.
I am. Remember, I cannot confirm or deny.
Remember the mandate. Remember the mandate.
I cannot confirm or deny that I got a strongly worded text message not to mention a certain particular individual.
So let me say, there's a certain amount of some leeway I'm willing to give Jerry Jeudy in his time here, because it's not exactly like he played with really good quarterbacks and he plays a dependent position. That said, there are some receivers in this league who play above the X's and O's and actually make their quarterbacks look better than they really are. And those quarterbacks depend on those receivers.
Let me ask you this.
Cortland Sutton ain't one of them.
I did.
Sorry.
I did
Cleveland. He's a dependent guy.
I did Cleveland radio yesterday. Who's their top receiver? Guy used to play in Dallas.
Oh, Amari Cooper. Yeah.
How many? He played with five quarterbacks last year. Five. Give me his numbers real quick. Amari Cooper?
Yeah.
Oh. In Cleveland. In a run first,
run
heavy offense where they had five different quarterbacks play last year.
I see where you're going. He was the 10th ranked receiver in the NFL, 72 catches, 1,250 yards, catching passes from Deshaun Watson for a short time. Was it Dorian Thompson Robinson?
Yeah.
Joe Flacco.
Right. And there were two other guys that took snaps.
Two other guys that were there, too.
Five different guys in a run-heavy offense. What do you have,
72 catches for 1,250 yards and five touchdowns.
But wait, he played with five different quarterbacks. How could he be good? You play with the same quarterback for 15 games.
Well, Cleveland thought so much of Amari Cooper, they went out and gave Jerry Jeudy the bag. What kind of t-shirt was Jeudy wearing when he showed up at the...
I cannot confirm or deny.
Was it...
Whoever it is you're talking about.
Was it a t-shirt with a bag with a bunch of hands reaching into it?
Sweatshirt.
With a bag of money with a bunch of hands reaching into it?
No, they're reaching for it.
Reaching for it.
I cannot confirm or deny that.
Got the bag. That's how he measures his worth. Hey, that's fine. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Good for him. Coming up next, in the process of diminishing the Lakers, I want to actually kind of make a comment that's probably going to upset Nugget fans. Two things can be true at the same time. That's next.
Denver Sports Station, 104.3 The Fan presents Schlereth and Evans.
Comedian Adam Ray is going to be joining us in about half an hour. He's going to be performing at Comedy Works downtown for three nights starting tomorrow. So he's going to join us. He's a Seattle guy.
Yeah. Yep. He's part of the people who screwed us.
Done a lot of TV. In fact, his most recent role is on Young Rock.
Yeah.
Is
that show still going, Young Rock?
He was on eight episodes playing young Vince McMahon. But he's been on everything. I'm looking at his bio. He's been on everything.
He's
from Pam and Tommy. American Dad. Curb Your Enthusiasm. Back in 2017, he was Uber Driver 2.
Uber Driver 2?
We should ask him.
What do you remember about your role as Uber Driver 2?
In Curb Your Enthusiasm 2017. Yeah, write that down.
That'll be good.
His Dr. Phil impersonation is hilarious.
Yeah, I know.
He was telling me, he was like, the YouTube, he's got Adam Ray Comedy. And he said his YouTube channel with the Dr. Phil stuff is blowing up.
He was on a 2018 episode of Ballers.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I just recognized him. You know where I met him? I met him at Gronk's, I think it was Gronk's Super Bowl party. And I recognized him because of one of the skits he does on his Twitter channel. And it's just, he's just funny. Guy's just funny. Hey, good dude.
You know what? You look at his bio. He has worked his butt off.
Oh, yeah.
To get to this point. I mean, he has put in the time. Anyway, Adam Ray will join us coming up in about
really cool
25 minutes.
Real quick, speaking of Gronk, did you see his first pitch for the Red Sox the other day?
Yes. Awesome.
It was really cool. So Gronk, known for his mammoth spikes, was a great spiker of the football, went out there at Fenway Park on the mound to throw out the first pitch, goes into the windup, and then just spiked the baseball down into the ground. It was awesome. It was actually really awesome because these days, if you're a celebrity, do not do a first pitch. Do not do a first pitch because the odds are you're going to end up out there on social media for all time for everyone to see. There are so many bad.
Well,
when was the last time you saw a good celebrity first pitch? Seriously, when somebody just stood up there on the mound and just threw a strike.
President George Bush.
That's how far back you got to go.
Dude, his first pitch was legit.
That was epic. That even had late movement.
Yeah. He could start for the Rockies. Right? He'd be our ace.
You're Colorado Rockies, everybody. 4-14. Worst start in franchise history. And that's saying something.
Yeah, George Bush's was great.
What did he, right before he went out, Derek Jeter said, like, what did he say? Don't screw it up, otherwise everyone will boo you. This was 9/11. This is right after 9/11. And he's like, don't screw up, everyone will boo you.
Right.
It was like,
and George Bush was like, everybody boos me anyhow.
He was meant to be a joke to lighten everything up, but yeah.
Right.
So,
dude, his first, by the way, seriously, you go back to that, because that was when they, after they opened up after the 9/11 attacks, right?
Yep.
And George throughout the, President Bush throughout the first, George, my buddy George throughout the first pitch.
We're tight.
Yeah.
We're tight.
We're tight like that.
So we've been taking our shots at the Lakers. Mm-hmm. Why not? Right? Why
not? Of course.
By the way, we asked our listeners earlier what should be the playoff theme for for the Nuggets as they get ready for another long playoff run. What should be the theme? What was it last year?
Run this blank back.
Bring it in.
Bring it in.
Hashtag bring it in.
That was good.
Yeah.
So you want it to be what?
Let's run this bleep back.
Run this bleep back.
Yeah. They should have that shirt made.
A lot of stay on parade.
Stay on parade.
I think that one's out there. Road to repeat. Do you believe now? I like that one. I like that one. I like what you're playing.
Do you believe?
Yeah, do you believe? Do you believe now?
Yeah. I also came in with.
No, come on. Do you believe now?
Do you believe?
Yeah.
You don't believe.
I came out with,
do you believe
Bruce?
Now? I like dynasty, and a drunken slur.
Mm-hmm.
Rinse and repeat. Let's ride. Why not? Keep it alive, right? Hey, let's use it for good.
Let's ride.
Is it so toxic you don't want to go anywhere near it? Or is this a way to rehabilitate Let's Ride?
No, I just feel like, I watch something, you know, how you get caught up in like Instagram and the next thing you know, you're scrolling for 30 minutes. And it was this car just careens off the edge of the highway. And goes underneath the sign, hits this lip, this jump, and goes underneath the highway sign and just launches like 47 feet in the air. I mean, it's just an epic crash. And the title was Russ heading to Pittsburgh. Let's ride.
So as much as I've been, we've been mocking the Lakers for celebrating their in-season tournament championship with a banner, and also mocking them for, you know, does their 17th banner really count?
Right.
Because it came in the bubble. I am so, so, so thankful that the Nuggets' first championship came the way it did last year.
Right.
Because had they won, you know, they did the back-to-back 3-1 comebacks in the bubble. I am so happy, looking back on it, that they did not win the championship that year.
Yes.
Because
it's tainted.
I'm sorry. Anybody who won a title during the COVID year, that comes with a giant asterisk. It doesn't count. I'm sorry. It just doesn't count. And if you're a diehard Laker fan, Laker Mark, you know that there's 16 championships and then there's one with an asterisk. Come on, you just know it. Yep. And I am so, as much as that was a fun diversion for all of us, and what Jamal did in the bubble was awesome, and it was entertainment, all that, I am so, being able to look back on it now, I am so thankful they fell short in their attempt to win a championship that year. Looking back on it, it would have been the worst way for them to win their first championship, especially when you now know what it felt and looked like last year.
Yeah. But here's the other thing where the chip still stays on their shoulder is that last year people have made excuses for the Nuggets championship because of the road. Like, as soon as they won it, I heard so many people national media-wise, the Wind Horses of the world and everybody else, well, it was really the easiest path in the history of a championship to the, you know, to the NBA championship. I mean, they faced the eighth seed in the NBA Finals. I mean, that was really what it came down to, right, Mike? So you heard that all over the place. So you should still have a chip on your shoulder.
Real quick, for the texter says, that's idiotic, Mike. Every team was playing in the same conditions. Yes, those conditions scream asterisk. They just do.
No, you don't have to travel.
They scream.
No home court, no fans in the stands. Come on.
I'm not saying that the conditions weren't the same for everybody. I'm saying the overall element and situation that they were playing in wasn't real.
Yeah.
It wasn't legit. Not compared to every other championship.
Correct.
That has been played and won and contested.
Real quick, you know what the Nuggets saying should be this playoff run? Let it eat.
Let it eat. That's yours.
Yeah.
You should have.
That's not mine. It's a baseball thing.
Yeah. I never heard of it.
I never heard of it either.
Well, you guys aren't big time baseball fans like me.
Oh, wow.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah. Sound like hockey guy right there. Well. Up next. My Tom Brady, Sean Payton theory that has Mark intrigued, and I'll intrigue you next.
With an advanced network, cybersecurity solutions, and trusted partnership, Comcast Business powers more businesses than anyone. Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Get started with internet and security for your small business for $49.99 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with qualifying internet. Call today. Ends 5/5/24. Restrictions apply. New customers only with 50 megabits per second internet and security edge. Eco bill and auto pay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra.